Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I know that in our day and age and in our country, we like to think and we like to see our society as one that offers great promise. I remember when I believed the promise that we would all one day regularly fly at supersonic speeds, past the speed of sound. In junior high, I even wrote a report about how that was going to be. Now, of course, most of you know the Concorde jet has been taken out of service personally. But with that being gone, I doubt that I'll see that supersonic promise fulfilled again in my lifetime. It is a promise, a great promise. I just don't think it's going to happen for me. God also made promises, great promises, like in the Old Testament lesson today. And those are promises that I and we see fulfilled. There's the promise of punishment taken away, the promise of enemies turned back, the promise of the salvation of the mighty warrior, the promise of being rejoiced over with singing, of the lame being rescued, the exiles gathered together, of being brought home, and more great promises besides. I love the promises of being brought home, of the singer and being rejoiced over. Those are exceedingly great promises. And when you hear these Old Testament promises and you hear who it is that will accomplish them, who are you expecting? What are you expecting? What kind of person do you picture? We have expectations, don't we, of a mighty Savior, a powerful singer, a warrior, and a king. I think of what our expectations are like in the season of Advent and Christmas. I think that oftentimes we, perhaps unknowingly, expect a great deal more of this season than what might be reasonable. As a child, I was almost always surprised at how the presents beneath the tree seemed to grow so much overnight on Christmas Eve. But there were times when I had built up my expectations so high. God love them, my parents had no chance. When talking about expectations and the Christmas season, the words of G.K. Chesterton might be appropriate. He once said, "The world is weary of cures that don't cure, blessings that don't bless, and solutions that don't solve anything." Our expectations can be like that. So, what should our expectations of God's promises in the Old Testament lesson today be in light of what G.K. Chesterton said? Because when you read the promises that are there, what you don't expect is you don't expect those promises to be fulfilled by a baby. A baby, an infant. Yet that is exactly what God knew this world needed. It needed the baby, Jesus. Now, Jesus, we know now, is more than a mere baby. And yet, in this season of Advent, we can't yet see that. In fact, even after Jesus is grown and has begun his ministry, people are still wondering if Jesus is God's answer for the problem of sin in this world. Like John, and his disciples ask in the gospel lesson today. Are you the one? That is, have our expectations really been met in you? And the world today still asks that question, though often not with such hope as we see in John and his followers. The world today often, at best, only questions Jesus. And most often, it ignores him or ridicules him. Now, we must be careful when talking about such things, because it must be remembered that we are in this world today as well. And yes, we are here in church, and yes, we are hearing God's word, but like the rest of the world, if we're being honest with ourselves, we too can ignore Jesus in our own lives. We can also, like the world around us, simply set aside the Lord and just go ahead and plunge into sin. So, we must be mindful not only of how the world treats Jesus, but of how we treat him as well. But see how he treats the followers of John with such great compassion. Just as on the cross, Jesus has treated you and I with compassion. Jesus dying on the cross gave the world what we needed. He there on that cross fulfilled the promise in the Old Testament lesson today of redemption. With his blood for all sin. There on the cross is the fulfillment of a promise so much greater than anything else. And Jesus gives the followers of John what they also needed in today's gospel lesson. Jesus speaks first of the actions or the miracles that he does, and then he speaks of preaching and the good news. It's not either actions or words. It's both actions and words. Jesus said to these guys, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. Now that last phrase reminds us of the shepherd's candle that we lit today. Those shepherds also saw and heard. They heard from the angels, and they'd seen all that they were told about that they would see. They went and saw the baby as it was told to them. This was all good news, just as the angels said it was. And the shepherds, well, they went and they told others what they had seen and heard. Like those shepherds, John's disciples also had the mandate from Jesus to go and tell John what they had heard Jesus preach and the miracles that they had seen Jesus do. There's something of a pattern there for us to learn from. What we've heard and seen, we too go from here and share and tell others about that. We're not out to convince or to argue with anyone. That's not up to us. We don't convince. We don't argue. We testify. We witness to what we have seen and heard. That's all we do. That's yet another Advent expectation. We follow in the footsteps of John's disciples and in the footsteps of the shepherds. We come here. We come here and we hear the evangel. We hear the good news. We hear the news that Jesus has come to redeem and to save us. We have come here and we experience the forgiveness of Jesus through the miracles of baptism and Holy Communion and through the word of absolution when we confess our sins. These are ways that God Himself touches us and meets us. And so, in doing so, He strengthens us in our daily lives of faith in Him. We are full to bursting here with God's goodness to us. We can do nothing other than tell others. That's what we're reminded of with the lighting of the shepherd's candle, the joy candle, it's also called. And that's what John's disciples report to John after leaving the presence of Jesus. This fella up here, Dwight L. Moody, he once used an empty glass as an object lesson to show that the love of God overwhelms our sinful nature and He controls our lives. He asked his audience one time, "How can I get the air out of this glass?" After many different suggestions, some more ridiculous than others, he picked up a pitcher of water and filled the glass. "There," he said, all the air is removed." He made the point, we cannot overcome sin, bitterness, and temptation simply by fighting against it. We must let the Holy Spirit fill our hearts. Let Him pour in His love until it overflows. That's what has happened for you and I in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've had our hearts and lives filled to overflowing with the goodness, with the love of God. Luther once said of Jesus, "He was to conquer the world with His word and His miracles, not with gun or sword or physical might." In Advent, we wait. We know that Jesus will come. And Jesus has come to be born and to die once, like the epistle lesson says. Jesus will not return to earth in the same fashion as He did before. That is, He will not return being born of a virgin. That was done only once. But that one time was all that was needed. That was what God had promised to fulfill all expectations. That baby Jesus, the shepherds heard and saw, was the same Jesus that John's followers now heard and saw. And He is the same Jesus who fulfills beyond our imaginations what we need to have the love of God poured into us to displace all of our guilt, all of our sin. Even blessed John needed a reminder of who Jesus is. Christmas is coming. Christmas is a reminder for us of who Jesus is and why He has come. John's question of Jesus, "Are you the one?" was answered with yes. Jesus is the one who is promised to come and come in the way that He did. And yes, He is the fulfillment of the description of the Old Testament. Jesus is the rescuer and the warrior. He is the gatherer, the singer, and the redeemer. All of that is wrapped up in this baby, born of Mary, who has come and fulfilled the need of the world for God's promise of redemption. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.